The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In 2024, Eurostat compared countries for the mix of prices with their hotels and restaurants, and it found that Ireland was 29.3% higher than the EU average. In fact, the only country higher than us was Denmark on 47.6%. So it begs the question, has Ireland become too pricey for popular tourism? Joining us now to talk about that, Chief Executive of the Irish Hotels Federation, Paul Gallagher, Independent Economist David Higgins, and travel expert Sarah Slattery. Good morning and welcome one and all. But first of all, we want to hear what the tourists themselves had to say when they were approached by our Lauren Texter.
Where you guys are from? The Netherlands.
How have you
found the prices so far? Have you found it to be more expensive than the Netherlands, less expensive? What do you think?
I think a bit more expensive. Not much, but yeah. A bit more, yes.
I'm not staying in the hotel here. I stay in my friend's home. So, and because I know the hotel here is expensive.
Yeah. So where are you from?
I'm from London.
You're from London.
It's obviously because of the euro to pounds, it looks more expensive. I think it's actually more worth the money. No, yeah, I think it's either the same or just a bit cheaper for Dublin. Cheaper to do a week here than it was to do 3 nights in London.
Wow.
And that was including flights and hotel and breakfast included at the hotel.
I'm from Turkey. Turkey is more expensive.
Really?
But here, and just in the accommodation, expensive.
Because I'm from Marseille in France. And for example, one burger without a meal, it's 13 euros. And when you compare this in France or in Marseille, it's really, really expensive, yes.
So mixed views there on how expensive the Irish tourism product is. David Higgins, Independent Economist, will you talk us through the numbers and what they're telling us about how Ireland has changed in terms of value?
Sure, Pat. So when we look at the mix of prices, you can look at different things. You can look at, you know, your flight prices, you look at, you know, restaurants, cafes, pubs. But accommodation, hotels are very much the cold face of how tourists decide where to go. It's the big thing you book early on. If you look at 21 and 22, in both of those years, there was about a 14% increase in accommodation prices just individually in both of those years each. And if you do the round from 2016 up until today, it's been about a 77% increase in accommodation prices. But if you go to your restaurants, cafes, pubs, the increase has only been around 39%. Now, both of these sectors have been seeing cost of living pressures, input prices going up. They've seen minimum wage going up, a whole bunch of other pressures. But it seems that the accommodation side has just had this real mismatch and be able to push up its prices much more.
Now, to what extent is it reflective of inflation? Because these are literally in euro, priced in euro, whatever. And there would have been inflationary pressure in the meantime. So when you correct for inflation, I presume the prices are still up.
Well, the big thing I correct for is wage increases. So, you know, not just to not have that 77 hanging out there as a crazy shock for people at home, we've seen wages go up. So, you know, that being in the round of 20-30% across that period, not just for Irish, you know, workers and consumers, but for international people as well. British, American, Europeans have all had that kind of price and wage growth coming out of COVID. So, you know, part of the reason you have people to do a vox pop on the street from is that people are still coming for sure. You know, there hasn't been a wholesale turn off of Ireland because of the high prices. And you know, in the round, in tourist industries, don't always see that happening. Some, as a person in the box office said, London, you know, it will be worse value, but people still go to London, even though it is very, very expensive. But, you know, the point I was making in this article that I did in the Irish Times 2 days ago was that the price increases that we've been seeing are quite strong, but the tourists really feel that because accommodation is the big thing people have
now,
to buy.
How much does supply and demand come into the frame here? You know, we can see it very evidently when you've got a big event on Oasis, for example, or Garth Brooks, any of those kind of events, or All-Ireland finals. You can see how prices go up to mirror the demand that is there, because that's how hotel prices are sold, a bit like airline seats. So what about general increased demand and a general shortage of supply?
It's very much part of the picture. And this is where, you know, I'm sure the hotels are going to come in and make this point as well, that part of the reason there has been this, you know, outsized increase in prices is down to a couple of factors on the supply side. We haven't actually been building a whole bunch of extra hotels and accommodation supply in the past decades. If you go back to 2009, we used to have 74,000 hotel bedrooms. The latest number in 2024 showed 70,000, which is actually a small tick downwards. But
is that absolute bedrooms or those that are available for the tourist product? Because we know we have, in towns all around Ireland, hotels been taken out to cope with asylum seekers.
Bingo. So that's even further lowering the numbers. You know, that those estimates vary. I think at its peak, you might have said conservatively, somewhere between 15 and 20% of the supply was taken up by that. Latest number shows it's down around 7%. That has been effectively a release of supply back into the market. Mm. And what we actually see in you know, there's the glimmer of hope in this is that in the past year, we've basically had flat accommodation prices just as those hotels are being released back. So, yes, the supply dynamic, demand dynamic in this is very much part of the picture. Mm.
Now, can you give us any insight into what's happening in terms of if you've got 74,000 bedrooms, which become 70,000, what's closing down?
This is where you'd probably have...
I mean, is it the small hotel in a small town that really can't sustain a 12-month business and the summer season is just not enough to keep it open?
Yeah, you know, it might be part of that picture. You know, what we've seen in town centres across the country just in, you know, past 20 years is that there's been... Yeah, you know, a little more of a hollowing out of that. You know, towns that had a kind of a bit of a rundown state during the financial crash years never made a full recovery. Number of pubs are down as well. You know, the hotel as being a venue, a centre for social activity isn't so much the thing anymore. It's very much, you know, you're in and out and you're there for a particular purpose. So that might be part of the picture as well, yes.
All right, so we go to Paul Gallagher, Chief Executive of the Irish Hotels Federation. What's the picture from your perspective? I mean, are hotels doing well? Because clearly the prices are high.
Yeah, hotels are doing well. This year, their occupancy is roughly the same as last year. So overall, they're quite happy. Rate has softened somewhat, so it's back about €6 a room in June, right across the sample size of 25,000 rooms. So clearly, there's more supply on the market for consumers. And hotels are offering better value this year because they're down €7 a room, notwithstanding inflation should have increased that.
But, I mean, it depends what you perceive to be value. If you're paying €250 for a bed night in Dublin, that seems expensive.
Well, to what, though? Expensive to what are you comparing? I mean, Dublin's an international city.
Someone needs to come to Dublin to do a bit of business, whatever mm-hmm. it might be, and they've got to stay a night in Dublin. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, of all the products on the market, hotel prices are probably the most transparent because you can check them anywhere online through a whole range of different platforms and you can shop around. The average achieved price in Dublin net for June was €174. That's not a high price for a city that has a restrictive capacity of hotel beds due to either planning permissions being refused, slow planning processes, or simply the cost of development is just too high at about €500,000 a room. Mm. And that's putting off investors.
Now, the reception would be, certainly in the area from where we are broadcasting, is that there are hotels popping up all over the place. It does take a couple of years to develop them, but they get developed and they're there. The bedrooms are open. So there must be hotels closing down if the number of rooms available is remaining reasonably constant.
But the market is growing, so the demand for the rooms is growing and hotel numbers are starting to open now. We've had about 1,100 rooms open in 2023, 800 in 2024. There will be about 900 bedrooms opening this year. And thankfully for those consumers who are looking for good value, a lot of these are in the budget end of the scale. So you're starting to see very large 200 and 250 bedroom hotels in the three-star market. And that's good news because that gives consumers even greater choice in Dublin.
Now, you talk about the average for June of €174 per bed night. What would the typical price of a three-star product be?
I wouldn't know that offhand.
Because if the average is 174,
well, it'll be
and
lower.
We know that
it'll
the Merion Hotel and all of those are very high.
Yeah.
So
it will be lower. I mean, a luxury hotel in Dublin is probably about €400 a room.
Yeah.
It's actually higher outside of the city for luxury hotels around the country, which is just, that is the market. In the city, you could get a room in Dublin for €130 or €140 tonight. I mean, there's no issue there. Dublin has a lot of peak demand nights and we had, you know, across June a number of concerts. We also had the Lions played Argentina here in Dublin. That drives demand along with just general business levels across those months. So the peak months are certainly June, July and August, but then it softens down and the rate is even better value across the winter.
Now, this one, you probably can't even guess at which hotel it is. A text, I saw a vacancy recently for a well-known five-star hotel in Dublin. The pay was just above minimum wage. So the cost is certainly not trickling down to the employees.
Well, I could speak to that because there's this misconception that everybody seems to be on minimum wage. If you were an 18-year-old with no experience, walked into a hotel and put your CV on the desk, you'll earn $13.50 an hour or higher. Okay, it can't be lower. I had a quick look this morning, looking at a payroll platform. On their platform, of 40,000 staff, only 8,000 are on minimum wage, which means 32,000 are on higher than minimum wage. And when I say higher, I'm talking about way higher. So an example, you could start a job at minimum wage in a hotel today and be a general manager in 20 years' time on 400,000 a year. The sky's the limit. So these are, you know, no experience, walking in, summer job, happy to have it, and earning great tips along the way.
Which are ostensibly taxed.
Everything's taxed now unless it's cash, and then the revenue can't get hold of it. But certainly, if it's through the till system, we have to declare that for tax.
Yeah, the only point I made yesterday when we talked about this is that a tip is a gratuity, and I could give you $3,000 and you wouldn't be taxed on my gift to you, whereas the waiter given a fiver by someone as a gift will be taxed if it's caught.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, we are required to tip any gratuities that go through the hotel system, so where we actually manage the receipt of it and then disbursement of it, yeah.
All right, before we talk to Sarah about her experiences, David, just international comparisons. I mean, people perceive they go to Spain, they go to Portugal, they go to France, even Marseille and Paris, and they perceive they get a better value overall for their holiday. Is that real or imagined?
No, that's true. So when you look at, I'm going to talk here about the mix of accommodation and food, which is, you know, the whole mix of the thing of your going abroad and experiencing the place. You'd be talking about maybe 20% lower, maybe 30% lower in the likes of Italy, Greece, Spain, those kind of countries. That isn't, you know, seismic, but it is something that people very much notice. So, you know, that is why you see many Irish people going abroad, and it's kind of happens at the same time that we have international tourists coming in here then to kind of fill up the space in the interim.
Some of the texts coming in. I've just booked a double room with breakfast in a 4-star hotel in central Paris next month, €206 a night.
Yeah, I can find the same deal here. And I think the other thing about Paris is 120,000 rooms. Dublin has about 25,000 rooms. Paris city centre is about 9 miles wide in every direction. If I found your room in Tala, you would think you weren't in the city. So, I mean, apples and oranges are here.
They did say central Paris, not...
Central Paris is a very large area compared to central Dublin.
Another one talks about, I paid €12 for a pint in Paris, but €7 when I went off the beaten track. So if you're on the Champs-Élysées, you're not paying for the drink, you're paying for the view.
Yeah, you are. And I think taxation is a large part to do with our pricing structure here in Ireland. We tax people to hell when it comes to food and beverage.
On an average, 23% in Portugal on meals.
On an average, two people having a main course at dinner with a bottle of wine for €75, €17.50 of that goes just on tax. Never mind employment taxes. We are far too high a tax economy right across a range of services, and we have runaway inflation right across the whole economy for domestic citizens as well.
All right, and we go to Sarah Slattery, travel expert. Sarah, what is your perception of value for money here and in the other places you might travel to?
Hi, Pat. I know there's a lot of talk about the hotel prices, but I do think that, you know, you can find some deals if you look in the right places. And I think sometimes, you know, people tend to pick out dates where there's a concert on or there's a match on or something like that. I don't think Dublin is particularly overpriced compared to other European cities. But I think the biggest issue is our general cost of living for people on holidays here. And whilst I know that the talk there is at the 30% higher than the EU average, I think it's much higher than that when it comes to food and drinks. I think we're like... And, you know, people may consider Spain or Portugal and they may want to go there on a sun holiday. And we're not really competing with that. If they're going to choose those destinations, they want to go there. But all of a sudden now, places like Norway, Iceland, that were considered always very expensive, are now we're suddenly competing with visitors who might go there instead. So I think it is, we are, you know, it is looking, for people who are looking to come here on holidays, just the general cost of living, I think, is actually a bigger issue than the hotel issue. Mm.
Now, what about the quality that we offer? Because you can go into many pubs, certainly in the cities, and get a fine lunch at a price which will compare very well with other capital cities.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on where you go. But I think from a city point of view, people are probably here for a couple of days. For people going holidaying in Ireland for a week or longer and travelling around, all of a sudden eating out in those restaurants, it's much, much higher. I would say compared to mainland Europe, you know, we could be 100% higher in some issues, you know. Mm. And that is going to have a big impact. And you have to remember, like, a lot of people come to Ireland, whether we like it or not, for our reputation as being sociable and the pub scene and all things like that. You know, that's part of the attraction, particularly for Dublin. Wild Atlantic Way, maybe, you know, obviously a different story. But for Dublin, people are coming for that, the crack, as we all know. So, you know, when you're talking about 10, 11 euros for a pint, all of a sudden in Dublin city centre, in Temple Bar, somewhere like that, all of a sudden that kind of attraction will go away. So I do think we need to get more imaginative in, you know, trying to attract tourism, tourists here, and not just focus on, you know, the hotel prices and that all the time.
I mean, one of the issues is probably trying to find family-friendly food at a decent price around the country. The time was the hotel in the centre of the town would offer you a three-course lunch at a fixed price, and the kids would maybe have a kids' menu as well. Those days, I think, are gone. And maybe Paul can confirm that. Yeah. The idea of having a place where you got food similar to what you'd have at home at a price you could afford.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I remember the days going into a dining room. I think the main reason that this is happening is hotels are trying to get out of food.
Yeah,
there is no profit in food. You know, the manpower in food is 40%. So 40% of every euro is going to be payroll. And hotels, in most cases, unless you're huge volumes, food turnover actually drives losses, doesn't drive profit, and they're trying to get away from us. You're seeing that right across the country, unfortunately.
You want to reflect on that, David?
No, I think that's very fair. I mean, it's no surprise that when the government is now considering potentially doing cut VAT come the budget, if it does happen, it looks like they'll try and separate the food sector from the accommodation sector, reflecting where the prices have gone, as we've discussed here, but also where the cost inputs are. I mean, the food business is very tough, whereas accommodation, at least by the prices we're seeing, has been a little more manageable.
The kind of calls we get whenever we talk about events are coming in from Metallica next year. Hotels in Dublin wanted €1,000 for 3 nights in May. I got a hotel in Berlin for €280 for 3 nights the following week for the concert there. And that's where Paul is going, not coming to Dublin. Not everyone is looking for a hotel room. Who's looking for a hotel room is actually on holiday. I needed a room near a hospital in Dublin for a night before an early operation. I live in the country. It was very expensive for that particular need.
Yeah, look, I mean, I could find a hotel in Paris that's going to cost me €5,000 for 3 nights next May. If they want to contact me in the Federation, I'll find a better price. If they look at Trivago, they will find better prices. I'm looking online right now. I can stay in the Point Hotel right now tonight at €122. I can stay around the corner of Fitzwilliam, a five-star, for €350. I mean, I could ring into a radio show and tell you the price of something and give out about it, but that doesn't represent the average price.
I booked a hotel in Manchester this weekend coming, only booked it last night. Double room in a three-star hotel in the city centre, €180.
Well, if you give me a few moments, I'll have a look at the Dublin City Centre Hotel this weekend.
That so, would do the same.
Yeah, I'll find you a date that'll be the same. So just give me a second, I'll do that.
Okay, we will give you that little moment to do that. So, Sarah, your travel, I mean, does it take you much around Ireland or is it mostly overseas?
I do a bit of both, actually, and I do. I write travel deals quite regularly, Ireland and abroad. And like that, you know, I found lots of deals in Dublin City next week. The Harrington Hall is €109 for a room. The Radisson in Stillorgan, five-star, is €176 for a room. So, like, there are deals to be had if you know where to look. And I'm glad to hear Paul mention Trivago there, because I think we often hear, oh, you know, ring the hotels, book direct, which is ideal. ideal, and it's obviously what the hotels want, but people don't have time to kind of start, particularly foreign visitors. They don't even know where to look. You know yourself, if you're going to Spain or Portugal, you go online and you look at booking.com or whatever, and you look for a hotel. That's the kind of thing that tourists will do. So we need to be able to, change the narrative a little bit, because if you do look around, there are sites that will bring up offers that will offer alternatives.
And do you
and some
like
of the prices
do you,
are actually good?
Do you like to use Trivago or Booking.com, to source your hotels? Or do you take that advice, ring the hotel directly, quote them what Booking.com is offering, and then try and do a better deal?
Well, I would always use one of the aggregator sites first to look. And I would usually, you'd be able to quickly go on and see alternative dates, which a lot of the hotel sites don't actually have. You have to check individuals all the time. And plus, it will bring up four or five hotels in the same area, as opposed to just having to go into five different hotels. So, yeah, I would definitely find that the easiest way to look. And by all means, call the hotel then and see, will they do a better deal? But I usually find that doesn't happen. And the odd time, there may be offers where dinner is included, or breakfast, or a bottle of wine, or something like that. But a good example I have there is the Clayton Hotel in Cork. If you go online and look at their website for next week, it's €249 for a room. Now I found it for €105, including breakfast and a bottle of Prosecco. if you look, like, sometimes you can actually find those deals. It's just about people, I suppose, knowing the right places to look.
The last thing you want to do is pay the rack rate for the hotel, because that'll be the most expensive rate. You found something?
Yeah, the exact same example. Point A, around the corner, it's €515 for two nights stay this weekend. That's good value. That's bang in the middle of the city centre. And remember, the gentleman you were speaking to was probably quoting a sterling price. So, I mean, there are differences there as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Final comments from you, David. Are we pricing ourselves out of the market, do you think? Or is... We just par for the course.
No, look, I think there's a real problem on the hotel price side. Some of the challenges, like with new hotels being built, part of the challenge is that they come with now 7.5% commercial stamp duty if you actually build a new property. So there's a real catch-22 here that we try and solve the housing crisis with more construction. But if you try and go build more hotels, which will solve these prices, well, you might take from the housing crisis. So it's a tough one to try and solve, but we are very much on the high end when it comes to price.
David Higgins, independent economist, Sarah Slattery, travel expert, and Paul Gallagher, chief executive of the Irish Hotels Federation. Thank you, one and all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.